Morning, Saints. Grateful to the Lord for allowing us to be in Guthrie once again. Every time I see the Saints, it warms my heart. It's even though we haven't been together for a while, it just does me so good to see you all pressing on for the Lord. Desire your prayers this morning. The Lord has given us a message. And I want us to consider the conditions of our world today. There's a lot that we can be disappointed with. There's a lot going on that maybe we look at and maybe they express in the media, what are we going to do about this situation and that situation? And if we are trusting in men, we're going to be disappointed. We live in times where the institutions, the kingdoms of men are being destroyed. They are crumbling around us. And as we heard in Sunday school this morning, the kingdom of God is going to last forever. That's the only thing that's going to be left. As we heard last night, what do you believe in? Are any of these things going to shake you from what you believe in? The number that I have written on the board, 1.875 cents. This is not math class, and it's not a finance class. But it represents something that's in the Word of God. Now, some of us like math, and we understand the importance of carrying the places if we want to be as accurate as possible. Others may not like math, so for you that not too interested in math, that's 2 cents. I would like us to turn to Matthew, the 10th chapter. And we're going to read verses 29 through 31. Matthew, the 10th chapter, verses 29 through 31. It says, are not 2 sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And I got to thinking about that. Do you know that includes our beards, our mustaches, the hairs we get in our nose and our ears? It said they're all numbered. So keep that in mind when we listen to what this message has to say. And then Jesus said, fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. What this number represents is a transaction that used to occur back in Bible times between individuals. 2 sparrows were sold for a farthing. A farthing is 3.57 cents. So 1 sparrow is 1.875. How many times have you gone to the grocery store or maybe Walmart and you've been walking along and you've seen a couple pennies lying on the ground? Have you thought about the sparrow when you saw those? We usually don't pay attention, do we, to them. We just walk, oh, there's a couple pennies, we walk on by. Now, if it was $20, we're going to stop and pick it up, aren't we? I want us to consider this. This is something Jesus told to his apostles as he sent them out to do his work in the earth. And it was also recorded for our benefit. The world in which we live, it is so important for us to understand how much God really cares about us and our situations. Did you know that sparrows are the most common bird in the world? You can find sparrows pretty much in every country where people exist. And Jesus thought about that. Notice how the Word of God sometimes, the articulation of the Word pinpoints not only to that period of time, but it reaches all the way down to the end of time. that each person can get a hold of the truth and the promises of an eternal God. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? He asked them a question. He wanted to know, were they in observation of what is happening in their time? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. You know, when you look at that phrase, sometimes you think, well, maybe God noticed that the bird fell or the bird died. It said, without your father. That means it went through his hands before that bird either fell or died. There is nothing in our lives that God is not acquainted with, that he is not concerned with, that he wants to have, he wants to be involved. Many times we go through life and we're doing this thing and we're doing that thing, maybe in business. I've got this contract that I've got to complete. Have you ever considered to include God? Have you ever been working on a car and forgot to pray? I have. I remember an occasion I had to change a clutch in my truck. And so I said, oh, it should only take me about 20, 30 minutes. I had done it before. And I went out there and proceeded to work on that truck. And it was 8 hours later. And you know what I realized? I forgot to include God. I had so much trouble sliding that transmission back into where it goes. Getting frustrated. Why is it I've done this task before? Why am I having so much trouble with it? You know what I forgot? Take God with me. I don't have X-ray vision. I can't see exactly how it's lining up. So he sent it around again. Third time. Got to change that bearing in there. I got down on my knees before I even went out the door. And I said, Lord, I've done this task twice, and here it's coming up again. I need your help. And I was finished with that job in a half an hour. Include the Lord in everything. He said, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them should not fall on the ground without your father. The writer said this, the providence of God extends to the minutest things. Everything is continually under government and care of God, and nothing occurs without his will or permission. If he then regards sparrows, how much more man, and how much more still the soul that trusts in him? What is our price? Are we 2 cents? Our price is the blood of Christ. He's the one that paid our price. And do you think he's going to quit on us until we get all the way to glory? He has committed himself with his own blood to carry us all the way through. No matter what conditions are in the world, no matter what people say about us, God cares. Amen. Writer also said this, all things are ordered by the counsel of God. This is a great consolation to those who are tried and afflicted. The belief in an all-wise, all-directing providence is a powerful support under the most grievous accidents of life. Nothing escapes his merciful regards, not even the smallest things of which he may be said to be only creator and preserver. How much less of those of whom he is the Father, the Savior, and our endless happiness. You know, people look at us in the world a little strange, don't they? All you talk about is God. Well, I can't help it. He's involved in everything in my life. It's a part of me. Yes, it's going to be strange to you. But you know what the world needs? God's got a solution to every problem that's going on in our world today. But mankind won't call upon him and seek his face for the answers. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And I got to thinking about this. You know, sometimes I get up in the morning and I notice there's some hairs on my pillow that came out. And I could go through and count them, but what purpose would that do? I don't even know how many are up here. But you know who does? He numbered all of them. We say, some might say, well, I don't have much hair. My dad says, well, I'm bald. Well, he's got a beard and a mustache. God's counting those. For God to take that kind of care, that kind of concern, that kind of interest in you and I, that he numbered all of our hairs. He knew how many we were born with. He knows how many we're going to die with. And every changing number all the way through, God doesn't count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He already knows the number. And I thought about these two examples, a sparrow and our hair. And I said, how did Jesus know? How did Jesus know the most common bird in the world at this point in time would be the sparrow? We don't even hardly pay attention to a sparrow. We may spot a cardinal because it's bright red or a blue jay, but a sparrow, those are all over the place. And then our hair. How did he know that our hair would be important to us? I looked up a statistic for 2021. The hair care industry for 2021 was $84.4 billion. Jesus walked the earth over 2,000 years ago, and he knew it would be important to us in this day and time. There is enough in this world that tells every single person that God is real and that he exists and that he cares for you and I. No matter what we're going through in life, he cares. I care about that little bird that nobody pays attention to, that's only worth 2 cents. I care about the number of hairs in your head. I want to turn to Isaiah, the 46th chapter, verse 3 and 4. Isaiah 46, verse 3 and 4 says, hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb, even to your old age I am he. Even to hoar heads will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, and I will even carry, and I will deliver you. What does whore mean? Gray or white hairs. Yes. And we don't know what the combination is as we age, do we? God knows. He knows you got this many gray, you got this many white, and this many are going to turn white tomorrow. That's how much he cares. The enemy will come along and tell us, oh, you don't mean much to God. He's left you out here to deal with this situation all by yourself. But he cares. Even the minutest things. You ever lost your keys and ask him to help you find them? I know there's a lot of older people in this congregation that probably the first thing that comes out of your mouth when you wake up, thank the Lord I'm alive. Lord, will you help me get out the bed? As you age, he lets you know. You ever work a hard day of work and you kind of stiff in the morning and can't put your socks on because your back is tightened up? Lord, will you help me put my socks on? This is the way God designed it. He wanted us to be so dependent upon him that when we get to our end of life, it is automatic. Then Jesus said this, "Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." Do you know the disciples went through some things? As they went out to do God's work, they went through some things. Jesus didn't want it to be a surprise to them. He didn't want them to get discouraged over the things that would happen to them. He said, "Fear not, therefore." He's telling us the same thing today in the situations that we are in. Fear not, therefore. Yes, the devil is running rampant through this country, but it's because of the choices that men have made. They could have the same blessing if they so choose. But you and I, we don't know when the next time we go to the store and there's going to be police there. We left church one Sunday, was going to pick up something from a store. Happened to notice over at Party City parking lot, the cops had it all blocked off on a Sunday afternoon. Nobody knew what was going on. Later on the day, we found out there was a murder-suicide right there in a, it's not a bad neighborhood. It's a shopping area right next to the mall, and this occurred. We don't know what we're going to face when we go out there. But what do? We trust the Lord. We send our children to school. We put them in God's hands. Lord, will you put a hedge around them? Will you protect them from every danger seen and unseen? Keep a hedge around them. Keep all sickness and disease away from them. That's the privilege we have as children of God. We are worth more than 2 cents to God. Psalms, the 8th chapter. Verses 4-6. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and has crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, and thou hast put all things under his feet. Now mine goes to Noah. As he was sitting there doing whatever he was doing, and God comes along and says, "Noah, I want you to build a boat." Gave him the specs of the boat. Now, had Noah ever built a boat before? No, he hadn't. Who gave him the information? God did. Do you think that God was worried that Noah wouldn't build it right? Or he would leave a hole in the bottom of the boat? He gave him the instruction. And Noah went about doing what God had told him to do. You and I, sometimes we have to do some things that maybe we're not used to doing. But we are enabled and empowered by God with wisdom and know-how. Bought a car for my wife. Not a car that I know about too much. She had some issues with it. A water pump goes out. I've never changed a water pump on that car before. You know what I did? Lord, I don't know what I'm doing, but I ask you to help me. Mind you, the car broke down out on the freeway and she was away from home. So I didn't have all the tools I have at home. I packed some together, went out there and met her, and I'm hovering over that hood of that car trying to get that part out. It took a while, but God gave me the wisdom. He was concerned about her out there on the side of the road, protected her till I could get there. Do you know that God is looking out for everything in our life? He's looking out for everyone attached to us. We don't have to sit at home and worry what's going to happen with this family member, what's going to happen with that family member. All you got to do is tell God. He cares for them. He cares for them just as much or even more than you do. We love our children, but we don't love them as much as God does. He sees their whole life. He sees what he has planned for their life. And sometimes it might scare us what God has planned for their life. But God is able to care for them. Life has a way of beating us up a little, can cause us to hesitate in following the Lord. Remember, God is still on his throne. He is still interested in the affairs of men. The Lord did not create us to wilt under the pressure of our current world. We are just a little lower than the angels. Peer pressure causes people to wilt. And the way the world is pushing its agendas and ideals on us, if we are not careful, we will bend a little. Because we see they're so bad, and we're like, well, I'm not so bad compared to them. But there is a pattern and a path that God expects us to follow. And you know what's going to happen? Our path is going to get wider from theirs. Don't be surprised that you are called an old fogey or you are old fashioned. Don't be surprised at that. Because the world is so far from God, they don't even realize it. God, in his creation of everything, has put constant reminders in our face every single day. The whole world, as it revolves and spins and goes around the sun, God put all that in place. And it's to remind us who he is and that he will visit us if we meet the conditions. I can't come to the Lord and say, Lord, I need you right now. You know, some people, they got God in a little box. That's not God. God inhabits the whole world. And scripture says, and in him we move and have our being. Writer said this, remember that in all your anxiety and pain, the Father's near. His presence encloses you in his gentle, holy embrace. You are of value to him, of more value than you can count, because you were purchased with the precious blood of Christ. I'd like to look at song number 104 in our songbook. I haven't been able to see what this writer's life was like, but I would like to. Because for a person to write these words, they had to experience something. The first verse says, I walk today in the Christian way, though dangers I may see. You know, all of us are walking in the Christian way. Do you know that? There are dangers constantly around. Every single Christian, there's dangers. The enemy's going to make sure that there are some dangers. He's going to lay some traps. He's going to lay some snares. He's going to lay a little path that might look like the right path, and it's a danger to us. But the songwriter said, I will not fear, for the Lord is near. He will care for me. Jesus told those disciples, fear not, therefore. Then the second verse, no test I face, but sufficient grace is ready for my need. There's another path there. There's some testing. We are all familiar with testing. We all went to school, didn't we? We took some tests. Did you take a driving test? Take tests for certifications for jobs? What is the test supposed to do? The test, by definition, is a situation or an event that shows how good, strong, etc. somebody is. So are we surprised that we get tests? Are we not surprised that Christ said, "My grace is sufficient for you"? In the tests that we go through, sometimes we don't pass. And then we have to go to God and say, "Lord, what happened? Why did I not pass this test you sent my way? I would rather God give me the test in this life so that I am clear when I get to the end than to miss all the tests and think I'm going to get in." Third verse says, "He will not fail in the strongest gale that stormy winds can blow." The definition of a strongest gale is an extremely strong wind. And I liken it to the world in which we live. The ideals and the beliefs that this world have are so far off base that even in my daily activities, I'm constantly pressing against what they're trying to do. They want you to be dishonest. They want you to don't let them get away with this. You have rights. You need to speak your mind. Somebody do you wrong. What are you going to do? Well, we got some options. I can get back at them, or I can turn the other cheek. An average person cannot turn the other cheek. That comes from the grace of God working in their life. Verse 4 says, "I trust in him, though disasters grim before me seem to be." Disaster. It is a very bad situation that causes problem or totally unexpected things. I don't believe that Sister Maxine expected to fall in her kitchen and hurt herself. And I believe that it was an uncomfortable situation. But do you see how God has brought her through? All of us in our lives, when we go through these types of situations, the enemy would have us get scared. "Oh, Lord, let this happen to me. I don't know why he did." But you know that everything that God allows to happen in our life is to accomplish a specific purpose. There is something that he wants to give to you, but it costs something. Disasters happen. I don't know what I'm going to do in this situation. What do they do when natural disasters occur? They broadcast it for a while and everybody looks at, "Oh man, that's terrible." And then after a while, they might send some help, they might not. Just depends on what's available. But we have a God that cares about us so much, even in the disasters. The things that kind of blindside us that we weren't really ready for. Well, if I knew it was coming, I could have prayed that I would have the grace. But sometimes we don't have that luxury. And it comes. So what do we do in those situations? Our human tendency, our human nature is to become frightened or become startled, kind of back, "Oh, I don't know. What is God doing here? I thought he cared about me." He cares. Every situation he sends, he has a greater blessing for you and I. He wants to give us something in our soul that's going to stand out to everybody that we come in contact with. I want to get Isaiah 43 and 2. Isaiah 43 and 2 says this: "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire,
thou shalt not be burned, neither the flame kindle upon thee. We heard in the testimony about the three Hebrew boys going through the fire in their day and time. When you look at that situation, they came out of there and there was no smell of smoke on them. You and I can go through these situations of life and there can be no smell of smoke of that situation on us. There should be nothing coming from us except for the grace and the glory of God that has been working there. And people will come up and say, how could you go through that situation? How could you deal with that? How can you sit there and let that person just tell you about yourself and be quiet? Notice what Jesus did. He was standing there before the ruler and he's accusing him of this and that. And Jesus said, nothing. That takes grace from God. That is not a human nature. It is human nature to defend ourselves when we feel threatened. But to stand there and answer not a word, that revealed a greater power working in him. And it said, the ruler marveled. You and I are around people every day. Whether you realize it or not, they are looking at us and some of them are marveling. How can they be like they are? It seems like this is going wrong. They had this injury. They had that injury. They had this go wrong, this misfortune. They lost their job. All of these things. Yet, they are strong. They're able to be calm. They're still able to have a clear head that comes from God. The enemy will come along and say, oh, all is lost. I remember my mother was sick and she had a really bad illness. And she was sitting there and it had affected her face. And she's looking in the mirror and the enemy came up and said, what are you going to do? Look at you. And she said, I'm going to trust my God. That should be our response. Because if he cares about a bird that costs less than 2 cents, how much more does he care for you and I? One more statement from a writer. He said this, recognize the hand of God in all the events of life. No such thing is a chance. Submit to God amid all trials. We live in a world where, you know, they say chance is happening all the time. Oh, it was just chance that I was at this location. It was just chance that those people were at the store in Buffalo. Just chance that those students were at school in Texas. Just chance that my grandmother told a story about someone that had just crossed the bridge and the bridge fell out. Just chance. God is involved in everything. The God that we serve, that created heaven and earth, that lives in this world with us, that can allow man to exercise his free will and recognize he still has power to override everything if he chose to. Do you know that God can say, all right, that's enough. I'm going to fix this and I'm going to fix that. But he allows man to exercise his free will. And you know what's going to happen? When they get to the end of their life, there will be no excuses. Well, God, you didn't allow me. People have been exercising their free will since man was created. They can choose to follow him or they can choose to live without him. You and I can choose to stay in the kingdom of God or we can choose to go some other way that's a lot easier. What is our choice going to be? If God cares about the sparrow that falls, how much more valuable are we? The enemy wants to intimidate us. The enemy wants to
cause us to be a little hesitant, a little reserved. But God has something better for us. We know where our faith is. A song says, I know in whom my faith is fixed. I know in whom I trust. That's where you and I have to stay. No matter what happens, we get out there, the strongest gale's pushing, or we go through a test, or if we have disasters, God is keeping an eye on all of it. And he's going to see us through. All of you older saints, you are so close to glory. Stay the course. Because God will see you through no matter what's going on in life. If you can't get out of bed, thank the Lord. You have some time to spend with him.
Amen.
Do you know our children? Sometimes we worry about them. What kind of world are they going to inherit? Let me tell you what kind of world they're going to inherit. They are going to inherit a world where God still works. His plan still works. His power still works. And no matter what they go through, he's got the grace for them too. Pray for me.